In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
As we pray together, Lord, we thank you, we trust you, we believe you. Tonight we ask that you will help us. Make sure you are praying. We have come to access wisdom. We have come to access light. We cry for light. We cry for illumination. Grant us that which will empower us. Shabratus kalabrianda katus kalabrishki. Ezebriatos calabrandos as the Abrahamish. Hallelujah. I'd like you to pray one prayer before we sit. I'd like you to cry and say, Father, open the eyes of my understanding. Can you pray that prayer from the depth of your heart? Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Give me access to light, access to illumination. Access to light. Access to light. Access to illumination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My faith reaches out to you. And I believe your word for me today.
My faith
reaches out,
to you.
Sing it, and I believe.
I believe your word.
Tonight, and I pray that we'll rise to new dimensions in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we hand over this teaching session. We pray that you prevail over our minds, prevail over our spirits until there is conformity. Prevail over us until we become that which is expected according to the heart and the desire of the Father. We submit ourselves to your word. And we ask that you teach us tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. It's good to be back home. Good to have everybody around. Please greet one another and be seated. Greet one another and please be seated. Thank you, worship team. God bless you. We have a lot to do tonight. We're starting a new series. And I want us to do the best we can to redeem the time. Amen. I'm excited every time I have the opportunity to come before us and teach, because I have learned through experience that one of the ways to bless people is to enlighten them. Hallelujah. You can give people money, you can give people privileges. But one of the ways you bless people is to enlighten them. Unfortunately, we live in a generation that frowns at enlightenment, because enlightenment is intangible. And we have been trained by our environments to be carnal. We always want something we can hold and relate with here and now, such as money, clothes, cars, and all of these very, very mundane things. But the informations that are intangible, that empower us, usually we do not have the patience to submit. I was having a conversation with one of the protocol people while I was on my way coming, and I was driving and I looked at him. He was sitting at the other side, and I was wondering why I was looking at him while I was driving at the same time. And I told him, I said, look, my friend, you will never succeed in life if you are not mentored and trained. And he looked at me. I said, listen carefully to what I'm about to teach when we come. And I was giving him instances. I have learned, and I am more convinced than ever before, that training and mentorship is how successful people are made. It's not one of the ways, it's the only way. There are no options. Any other person giving you an option is a sign that he doesn't know what he's saying. Yeah, mentorship and training is the only way people can become sustainably successful. Truthfully speaking, mentorship is not listening to a man speak to you. Listen carefully. That's attendance. Mentorship is not opening up your ears to a man's teachings and having the teachings in your archives, your laptops, your systems. It may be a pathway, but mentorship starts with a decision that I am willing to submit myself to be taught, and I will insist till I understand. Praise God. Mentorship does not start with the availability of information. It starts with a determination from the heart of the one who will be the recipient. It's a manifestation of humility to admit that there are dimensions that we do not yet see and know and have. Regardless of what our achievements are, when we come before God and we come before people He has anointed to teach, to train, to build, it is important that you assume the position of a student immediately and listen carefully. And not just take notes, but write it in the tablets of your heart. And then obtain grace. That's why we pray after every message. Why? We're obtaining grace to walk in the reality of what we have heard. The Bible says, now that ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. It's one thing to know, but it's another thing to have the grace to do. Brothers and sisters, listen. I may not boast. It will be arrogant to boast of knowing everything. Nobody knows everything. It will be arrogant to make a boast to claim to have arrived. But one thing I can tell you is, if you submit yourselves to these teachings wholeheartedly under God, you will never fail. Regardless, it's not a prayer. It's the resultant effect. Trust me on this. The ideas that we communicate to you in this house are not necessarily my ideas alone. They have been age-long ideas that have been used by men and women who changed the course of history. They have been age-long ideas that our fathers have used to do mighty things for God. And now God has granted us the privilege to access these ideas. So I don't want you, whilst you are listening to these things, to have a cynical heart debating whether or not you think is worthy of acceptance. Personally, I've made a commitment to believe and work with them. So whether or not you do not believe it, it does not affect my outcome. Because you see, success is not corporate. Everybody will have to obey himself into the promised land. I can help you, but I can't force you there. I came tonight with a very strong burden, and I was very excited when the Lord put this in my heart. It had been something that I had planned to share, but it was so powerful when the Lord put it in my heart. I really want you to succeed. God sees my heart, and the leaders know how much we are passionately committed about the success of everyone. I believe and have held this conviction for years. and I have taught many, including our students in the School of Ministry, that loyalty is a debt that you must pay. When people are loyal to you, it's as though you owe them something. When people are loyal to your anointing, loyal to your words, loyal to your grace, loyal to the dealings of God upon your life, you must reciprocate that loyalty by ensuring that their trust is not disappointed. That's why we pray. That's why we fast. That's why we prepare. That's why we research. That's why we study, to make sure that every information that you receive is not only spiritual, but life applicable and indomitable, having a character that can suppress whatever limitations. Hallelujah. So pray one more time and say, Lord, I submit myself afresh. Please pray from your heart.
Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life.
Hallelujah. Success systems, part one. Success systems, part one. Success systems, part one. The goal of this series is twofold. Number one, to reveal to us the requirements that must be satisfied for you to experience lasting kingdom success. Number two, to unveil to you the laws, the principles, the secrets, the mysteries that are responsible for commanding success from God's standpoint. It's an attempt to help our lives bear fruit. It's an attempt to make and help contribute to making our lives meaningful. It's an attempt to improving the quality of our lives and to help us in our quest to become effective spiritual people, effective kingdom ambassadors. It's an attempt to create balance to every area of our lives so that we are not unfruitful in any aspect. So this is a very powerful series. We're starting off with part one, and I pray that God will help us. Two scriptures very quickly, and then we'll take the course content. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Please, media, we need to work with us very, very fast tonight. Media, help us. Second Peter 1 verse 8. And then we'll look at Genesis 39 verse 2 to 6. It says, for if these things be in you, what things? Certain informations, certain traits. For if these things be in you and abound, are lavish, it says they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. In this context, it says in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it applies to every area of life. If these things abound in you and they are lavish, they will produce an effect. The effect is that they can stop barrenness and unfruitfulness from your life. It didn't say if these things be around you. If these things be in you, if you believe them, imbibe them, then it says you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Genesis 39, 4 verses 2 to 6. Genesis 39, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. We're reading to verse 6.
And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord did what? Made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor or grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put in his hands. Verse 5. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. The last verse. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Everybody say trust. And he knew not aught, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Help us tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Write down the things we are going to be considering in this series. Please write. Those online, follow us, or at least you'll be patient to allow the media lead you. There are a few things that we are going to be looking at, and wherever we can stop tonight, we'll stop and pray. But please, I want to take my time and teach you this. I want you to understand it, and I trust that God will take advantage of this series to bless and lift us in Jesus' name. The first thing we'll be considering tonight is the reality of failure. How real is failure? Is it a mirage or is it real? Number two, we are going to look at the concept of success in the kingdom. Number two, we are going to look at the concept of success in the kingdom. What is God's idea of a successful person? The concept of success in the kingdom. Number three, we are going to look at the concept of laws and principles. The concept of laws and principles. Can I continue? Number four, definition of terminologies. There's too much confusion, so we need to clarify terminologies as it regards or as it relates to kingdom success. Definition of terminologies. And then number five, thank you. The laws of success. The laws of success. We're going to be examining the laws. And then number six, we'll end with a very strong impartation and trust God to carry something that will activate these dimensions in our lives. Praise the Lord. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Now, statistically speaking, five out of every 100 people ever become successful in their lifetime. 5% out of every 100 people that you see, only about 5% of them ever become successful. Whether from a human standpoint, in fact, when you say from a divine standpoint, the statistic reduces again. Very few people. A young man gets up living his life bubbling with joy, hoping he will be successful. And you see the excitement of life on his face. But that same young man, give him 70, 80 years down the line, is a testimony of pain, a testimony of regrets, a testimony of sadness, lost opportunities, mishandled loss, a life of fatal failure. Most people die in pain. Most people die advising their children, don't be like me. Most people die apologizing to their generation because they finally are forced to swallow the bitter pill and admit they did not make it. Pastors, business people, parents, young people, the same challenge is eating up our society. The correct definition of success and a life that will become a template and a model enough, worthy of emulation, as far as kingdom success is concerned. So it's a big issue. It's a tragedy that about 5%, can you imagine that? Out of every 100 people, whether they are churchgoers, fasting giants, prayer warriors, 5% of them eventually will become successful, whether in ministry, whether in business. In fact, it is said that over 70 to 80% of churches that start up end by the end of that year. They can't continue. No members, no resources, no wisdom, spiritual forces that they've not been able to surmount, and other auxiliary factors that add to enforce the failures of people. Write this down. Failure is real. Failure is real. Second point, failure will happen to you if you allow it. I think it's a revelation many of us need to come to terms with. We have this inheritance mindset that by default, just because you have a nice name or you think you are too kind to fail, there's no such reality in the school of success. Let me tell you, everybody is a potential candidate for failure until you exempt yourself. Is a reality that is upon us by default. A lot of spiritual people say, I reject it. You better listen quietly to what I'm saying. I am a very spiritual person. I have learned the foolishness of exaggerating truth beyond the jurisdiction of their relevance is what causes failure as a side effect. Please listen carefully. I love you too much to deceive you. I love you too much to mislead you. And one of the graces God has given us in this ministry is capacity for balance. So anything you hear that you do not understand, just be patient. By God's grace, I'm a good builder. Every house is built by some man, he says, but God is the builder of all. And so we will not build a house that is lopsided. We'll build a house that stands solid on the rock. No matter what shakes it, it remains there. Say amen. Failure is real, brothers and sisters. There are pastors who are failures, regardless of their spirituality. There are churches that are failing and have failed. Some of us here seated right now, it's an uncomfortable truth, but right now, if you will admit, you know you are failing. Woefully for many of us. Are we together now? Yes. Disappointed expectations. And it's important that we find out God's system to bail ourselves out and do so very, very fast. So failure is real. Failure is very real. We see it every day. You see failure in the face of angry people who walk upon our streets. You see failure in the face of failed marriages. A man and a woman who love themselves and have an agreement to live happily. And right now you see someone age 24 and he tells you, I have divorced. How long did you marry? 6 months. 1 year. How about failed businesses? How about failed career pathways? How about failed ministries? How about disappointed expectations? I should enter a particular dimension of the anointing by now. And after donkey years, you are still there wallowing around in mediocrity. Failure is real. It lives among us. We see it in the faces of our dear loved ones. We see it in the frustration of our parents. You watch them and you know they are frustrated. Some of them are too arrogant to admit it, so they act as though they are still in control. But many have been forced, painfully so, to admit that there is something they are missing. Many people have been forced, amplified by the recession, to swallow their pride and admit, I'm not getting something right. Nobody becomes a success by accident. Nobody becomes a success by chance, by luck. Yesterday, I was ministering at a crusade and I gave an instance. I think I've given that instance here. And I want to repeat that example. Watch this. If I make a mistake and forget that there is a step down, and then I slip and I march, will gravity forgive me and say, no, I know you were joking, you were not serious, next time be serious? No. Gravity does not have in its configuration the assumption that men make mistake. Every time I violate that law of gravity, I pay for it, and I do so immediately. And sometimes I may not have a second chance again. This is how success is, and this is how failure is. Listen, many well-intentioned people, many Christians born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, have indoctrinated themselves into believing that just because of that status, their life should succeed automatically. No. Being a Christian gives you the potential and the access for success. There is a difference between access and delivery. Access means potentials. Delivery means experience. Listen very carefully. All that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross gives us access. But there are systems built in the dealings of God with men that converts access to delivery, where you are now a manifestor of those realities. One of my very great mentors, Dr. Mike Mudock, he's taught the body of Christ for a very long time that there are two dimensions to the dealings of God with man. There are two dimensions to the approach of spiritual things. Number one, he calls it the person of Jesus. And number two, he calls it the principles of Jesus. Number one, he calls it the life of God. Number two, he calls it the laws of God. Everybody say the life of God. Say the person of Jesus. Say the principles of Jesus. And Mike Mudock teaches that the person of Jesus is what gives you that encounter that creates your peace and secures your eternal destiny with God. But it's not necessarily the key for your victory here and now. Are we together now? So I can be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. If I die, I'm going to heaven. If Jesus comes, I'm going to heaven. I can live a life of peace, whether in plenty or lack, because his person has consumed me. I have conformed to the image of the Christ experientially. But then the dimension that is responsible for my success and victory on earth is not just the person of Jesus, but the principles of Jesus. Everybody say the principles of Jesus. That means I can be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet be sick. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet be poor. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet fail in career. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and become a total failure in life. Such a possibility exists. Now, most Christians have embraced the life of God, but we have ignored his principles. Are we together now? And most unbelievers have ignored the life of God, but embraced his principles. So most of them are going to hell because they have openly declared that Jesus is not Lord over their lives, but they have lived their entire lives applying the kingdom, applying the principles of the kingdom. And I've taught you here in Koinonia that there is a dimension of God's power that is programmed into his laws, so that whoever obeys them will get the result, regardless of whether he has a relationship with God or not. There is a dimension of the power and the ability of God that is programmed in laws. So it doesn't matter who applies them. There are certain dimensions that are privy to only believers. It is only in Christ that those dimensions can be obtained, like peace, like the joy in the Holy Ghost. Are we together now? Like the life of Jesus, security of your eternal destiny, the ability to count it all joy when you face diverse temptations. All of these attributes are not possible to the man who has not embraced Christ. But the principles of the kingdom, the aspect that we have largely ignored, I've shared with us on my idea, and I believe that God's idea of spiritual growth, that there are two indices to measure a man's spiritual growth. Number one is the degree of your conformity to the image and the person of Christ. You're rising in character. You are conforming experientially to the image of the Christ. But the second dimension, the second index, is your comprehension of the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom. Both are required together to say you are growing spiritually. If all that is happening to you is conformity to the image of Christ, that is a lopsided and a biased growth. If all that is happening to you is just access to the principles of the kingdom and you never encounter the person and the life, you will be carnal and you will never become a spiritual man. So the synergy between these two dimensions is what produces spiritual men who are relevant both in time and eternity. If that is you, say amen. Are we together? So failure is very real. I think it was a wise man, I don't know who exactly, who said, doing the same thing consistently and expecting a different result is one of the definitions of insanity. Doing the same thing and hoping and wishing that that same thing you are doing will just change results by itself, he said, is one of the definition of insanity. In other words, if your outcome is not consistent with your desire, then you have to check what you believe and what you are doing. Are we together now? Everyone say, failure is real and it's not my portion. Write this down, the word success. Let's define it. Let's look at the concept of success in the kingdom. Lord, give us understanding. Give us passion to learn. Please give us Isaiah 1:17. A scripture just came into my spirit and I want you to see it. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17. Write this word down. Success. What is the definition of success? I'm trying to introduce the concept of success because, please look up, the body of Christ has had issues for a very long time. There are many denominations and there are many Christians, some of them looking at me right now, many listening to me online. Every time you mention the word success, especially in church and to a Christian, there is this buildup of resentment. We have associated success with carnality. We have taught and indoctrinated ourselves into believing that there are two groups of people in the body of Christ. Those who are carnal, they don't love God and want to be successful. And those who are total failures now for the sake of their spiritual growth. There's no such doctrine in the Bible. The Bible says looking up to Jesus, not up to a denomination, not up to a pastor. It's important to follow us, but be sure we are following Christ. And if at any point you are not following Christ, it is within your power to switch. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I have shared with us again the danger of creating doctrines out of personalized dealings. That a man can have a particular bias, which may be a product of his cultural limitation. Let me tell you something. Many of these doctrines that were shipped into the church, and you know I love the body of Christ, and I don't say it with any particular sense of cynicism. I'm teaching the body. And so, we must realize that most of these things that have become stumbling blocks, listen carefully, many of us have inherited this from our parents, many of our loved ones, so spiritual and well-meaning. But this mindset, especially for all of us who are around the middle belt and the northern area, because of the evangelical nature of Christianity and the way we received it, we have been taught that any attention that is paid to your comfort and giving your life some sense of meaning here and now is useless. So in an attempt to emphasize the fact that we need to live with eternity in view, we have created a system of mediocrity and camped around it. So there are many lazy men who have used evangelical Christianity as an excuse to keep them lazy, keep their wives and their children in poverty and penury and suffering. There are men today who have not been working for over 20 years, and it doesn't matter. One room with your children, they were born and bred there. And he said, the most important thing is, this world is not our home. One day we are going somewhere. It's an expression of carelessness. So there are many doctrines that have endorsed laziness, endorsed irresponsibility, endorsed lack of productivity. So the average believer has been unable to rise to a position of kingdom influence where we can legislate on behalf of the kingdom. It's a tragic situation. Please give us the scripture again. He said, read the first four words if you are a Christian. One, two, read. Again. The word do well is the word succeed. So change it and use it well. One, two, go. Again. It didn't say be successful. It says learn. You must be taught. It says learn to do well. It's not just saying make it. Learn, be studious, submit yourself under the atmosphere and the information that will cause you to do well. When I saw that scripture, it was quite instructive. Learn to succeed. Joshua Selman, learn. It is not in you by default. Learn. The same way, where is he? Doctor. It's not a doctor by default, but you learn to become a doctor. You learn to become an architect. Are we together? You learn to become a mother. That's why when ladies give birth for the first time, their mothers or any of their guardians come around, right, and help them. They can read books and Google and search, but it's one thing to have that theory, and then all of a sudden the mother comes and says, okay, I will help you. And then helps her, and she becomes strong, and then tomorrow she will help her own children. Learn. Say, I will learn and I will succeed. Say, I will learn, I will be trained, and I will succeed. Look at this. When you want to become a doctor, what do? You pass through the medical school, correct? When you want to become an engineer, what do? You pass through the engineering school. When you want to become an architect, what do? You pass through the system. So when you want to become a success, what do? Unfortunately, there is no official institution for making people successful. You see why many people are failures? There are many graduates because there are many universities. There are many primary school certificate holders because there are many primary schools. There are many prisoners because there are many prisons, and there are many opportunities for crime. But there are few successful people because there are few successful mentors, and there are few successful platforms that can help men become successful. Learn to do well. Write this down. Success is the accomplishment of a worthy goal. Write it down. The word success has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with all of these things. Success is the accomplishment of a worthy goal. Any goal that is ideal, that is worthwhile, when you set goals and achieve them, you are said to be successful. This is the general definition of success. The accomplishment of a worthy goal, a worthy ideal. I want to become a doctor, and then you pass through the system and you become a doctor. With respect to that goal, you are successful. I want to become a joyful mother, and you walk towards it, and then eventually you get married and have your children. With respect to that goal, you are successful. So without goals, there is no basis for being successful. Are we together now? The accomplishment of a worthy goal, a worthy ideal, is what we call success. Now, let me give you a kingdom definition of success. I've given you a general definition. Let's look at a kingdom definition. Write this down. The fulfillment of your God-given assignment is called success from God's standpoint. The fulfillment of your God-given assignment, not just any goal. If an armed robber says, I must steal, and then he steals successfully, from an earthly standpoint, we say he has succeeded. But from the kingdom standpoint, it's not a success. The fulfillment of your divine assignment, the fulfillment of your God-given assignment, is called success. Another definition, the effective use, this is my own definition now, the effective use of your life, your gifts, and your resources to draw men to Jesus and bless humanity is called success. I'll take it again. The effective use of your life, comma, your gifts, comma, your resources to draw men to Jesus and then to be a blessing to humanity is my definition of success. So when you use your life like a drink offering, when you use your gifts, and when you use your resources to draw men to Jesus and then an opportunity to be a blessing to humanity, by God's standpoint and by men's standpoint, you are a success. Are we together now? The effective use of your life, the effective use of your gifts, the effective use of your resources to draw men to Jesus and then to bless humanity, to advance the purposes of the kingdom and to be a blessing to humanity. That's success. Are you blessed now? Very important. I need all of us to have this understanding so that when we talk about success, we are not talking of some money-mongering, greedy lifestyle, because this is another side of the pendulum. There are many people who are so carnal, so fleshly, the entire circumference of their Christian experience is just money and houses and cars. Everything about their understanding of God is the one who gives. My job is to just take and be rich, take and buy suit, buy designers, right? Move around the world in private jets, and then we coin that and say, this is my life. It is a very misguided, and not only misguided, destructive idea about success. That's what puts people under pressure to try to acquire things, because we hope that by acquiring things will prove a point to people. Now the truth is, if you are successful, it will show around you, but the acquisition of things is not equivalent to success in the kingdom. That you are wearing a suit of $1,000 or $2,000, you are wearing shoes, you are having estates all around, and you are a great man moving around, and people bow down to you, and people call you all kinds of names, and you have multiplied troubles, multiplied sycophants, that does not make you a success. How much you use your life, how much you use your gifts, how much you use your resources to draw men to Jesus and then to live a life of impact, blessing your world, blessing your humanity. Every other thing, cars, houses, all these auxiliary benefits are just effects of success, not the proof of success. The proof you have succeeded is the joy in the heart of the Father. The proof you have succeeded is a life transformed, not a car in your garage. The proof that you have succeeded is somebody coming to know Jesus because you did business well. Somebody coming to know Jesus because you read your book well. Somebody coming to know Jesus because of your marriage. Somebody coming to love Jesus because of your ministry. When your life has the capacity to draw men, regardless of what area you are functioning, to Jesus, and then an opportunity to make a mark to transform their lives, you are successful. By this definition, you will agree with me that there are very few people who are successful. There are many rich people, but they are not successful. There are many educated people, but they are not successful. Haven't seen this definition. Why then are many people failures? What is the reason? Is it that there is no access to knowledge? Is it that Satan is so powerful and can veto everything Jesus died for? Is it that if the few who are successful were just designed by God to be successful? Why do we have a whole generation as failures? A whole community as failures? I will tell you why. Because of one word. Just one word. It's called dishonor. I'm going to be teaching you a lot of things. We're still going to come to this issue of honor. There is one reason why any one of you here will be a failure in life. Only one reason. It's not that you didn't go to school. It's not that you graduated with a third class. No. That's a silly excuse. It's not that you are a northerner and they are victimizing you down south, or you are a southerner and they are victimizing you down north, or you are an easterner and they are victimizing you. Those are very flimsy excuses. They are obvious answers, but not correct answers. Are we together? There is only one reason why men fail in life: dishonor. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, dishonor to principles. There's only one reason why people fail, and there's only one reason why they will remain failures: dishonor. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, dishonor to principles. Is God helping us? Write this down: laws and principles. Laws and principles. L-A-W-S and then principles. I want us to examine the concept of laws and principles. Jesus, thank you. Look at me. In any other and every other aspect of our lives, we believe in laws and principles. But when it comes to our spiritual lives and our destinies, we do not believe that they work by principles. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Please hear me, brothers and sisters. It's a tragedy. When you go to school, you know that there are laws and principles. You are a science-based student. They teach you all kinds of science things, physics, chemistry. They teach you how to do a lot of things. They teach you what to do. They teach you laws, different kinds of laws. And the more you master those laws, the more you keep advancing. And then eventually, when you have gained certain dimensions of mastery, they award certain certificates to you. But when it comes to destiny, we have been indoctrinated into believing that we are just believers. And whether we respect laws or not, we will become successful. I will tell you where our resentment for laws came from. The imbalance and the inaccurate teaching of the concept of law and works. This is where we got our resentment for the word laws. Great men and women of God scattered across the face of the earth in an attempt, and I believe everything that they teach, in an attempt to explain or to bring the body of Christ into the reality of Christ's finished work. Listen carefully. In an attempt to show how that the old is gone, the Old Testament, you know, and that we are products of this New Testament now, in an attempt to help believers live the victorious life, we have, from one person copying another without finding out what exactly is being said, we have drifted to another side of the pendulum. And so the average believer, especially the average Pentecostal charismatic believer, when you hear the word laws, when you hear the word principles, you just reject it. You don't even need to know law of what. You just say, no, I'm not under the law. Write this down. Laws are systems. Is a system of rules that guarantee a predictable outcome. A law is a system of rules, or just a system of operation. Either a system of rules or a system of operation that guarantees a predictable outcome. So laws are systems of operations. They are systems of rules that, if and when diligently applied, guarantee predictable predictable outcomes. Write this down. Laws are a reflection of God's justice system. Laws are a reflection of God's justice system. The Bible says righteousness and justice are the foundations. It didn't say where. It never changed. Righteousness and justice are still the foundations of his throne. Laws are a reflection of God's justice system, so that nobody will say God victimized others and did certain things. No. He leaves it into your hands to define whether or not you will succeed or fail. Write this down. Laws are the keys to consistency and predictability. Laws are the keys. Please pay attention, especially those following online, wherever you are. I want you to please pay attention. Take notes if you can't. Follow us on Facebook, and we're tweeting, and then we're making posts. Please follow. I have a passion to help you understand this. Laws are the keys to consistency and predictability. Write this down. When your results do not change regardless of obstacles, then you are operating by laws. When your results, your outcomes do not change regardless of the prevailing obstacles, it's a sign that you are engaging laws. Hallelujah. So you see a ministry celebrating 36 years, a ministry celebrating 40 years, people like Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, 40 something years in ministry. Brothers and sisters, that ministry was built by laws. It was not just built by emotions. Many great corporations across the world, I don't know what the oldest retail outfit is in Nigeria, the oldest restaurant in Nigeria, but we have very great restaurants across the nation of the earth, right? Like Colonel Sanders and his Kentucky Fried Chicken, and a number of people, Walmart and all of this. Some of those outfits are hundreds of years old. The founders have long been dead, but the laws kept it. Write this down. Laws make your results outlive you. Laws and principles make your results outlive you. Laws and principles make your results outlive you. Write this down finally, and then I'll begin to teach. Correct understanding and application of laws are the keys to outstanding success. Correct understanding and application of laws are the keys to outstanding success. Correct understanding, not just application, correct understanding and application of laws and principles are the keys to outstanding success. Everybody look at this. Mike is playing something. Do you know that the same way he's playing this, if someone in Ghana, if someone in America plays based on whatever sequence is playing, they will get the same result because they are based on laws. Is that true? Please help me with this. This is Nestle water. How many of you know there's Nestle water in Lagos? How many of you know there's Nestle water in Ibadan? How many of you know there's Nestle water in Maiduguri? The taste is almost the same, if not the same. The packaging and everything. When you look at this one and leave and go to a shop somewhere and you look at it, you would think they took the one here, there. There is consistency in results. There is sustainability. There is predictability. There are many workers. Those who package this in Lagos may not be those who package it in another geopolitical zone, but they are all governed by the same laws, so their results are the same. Correct? Thank you. Pastor Femi, please come. My friend, please come. Two of you, please stand here. Now look how smart they are both looking. Stand here, please. Now look at this. Pastor Femi has a knotted tie. And this gentleman here has a knotted tie. Now watch this. Were you in the same room when you were knotting your ties? Did you meet yourselves? Did you know you were going to knot ties? But you took this rope, did something to it, and it became this. And you see how much it looks like the same thing. Both of them were miles apart, but engaging the same principle. And regardless of their location, the results were the same. Are we together now? Now, this tie will not say, "Lai, Lai, I'm not going to knot because I'm not in koinonia." No. If a thief knots this tie to dress smart and go and steal, the tie will not say, "You are a thief. In 2 hours, you are about to steal." I won't agree. No. Laws. Laws. If a wicked man plants maize and a tongue-talking, born-again agriculturist plants maize, both lands will produce. And in fact, this guy may even have a bumper harvest. Correct? Laws create similarity of results. So if I want to teach someone else how to be a smart gentleman like this, not in ties, I don't need to tell him, "Come and live with me forever." I just need to show him how to convert a rope, a nylon rope or a cotton rope. Are we together now? To become such a beautiful object that you can put on your neck. Thank you, sirs. So it's not just where you are. It's not just your background. There is something you do not know. You've heard me say it many times. Something I do not know is responsible for my limitation in life. How true? How true? The correct understanding and application of laws are the keys to outstanding success. We had a great time over at Bida. We rounded off the meeting yesterday, and I'm sure some of them are following. It was such a great time, as God always does in the meetings. And I had a little session with the leaders, and many of them kept asking me questions. "Man of God, what is the secret to your anointing?" And I said, if I tell these people now, they will not believe it. You see that? As I'm speaking to you right now, somebody in another meeting unconnected to Koinonia is still experiencing wisdom and the power of God at the same time. You look at a graduate from UNN, you look at a graduate from ABU, you look at a graduate from UNILAG, bring all of them together, haven't never met themselves, but they were submitted to the same laws. They will talk as though they know. They've known themselves for years. Correct? That means there is something all of us can know, that regardless of where you are, all of us will call and they'll say, "Are you experiencing the same result?" You say, "Exactly as said." Do you believe that? Honestly, if you don't believe this, just go home, because it will be that you are wasting your time this night. The goal of this teaching is to create predictability to your success. Is success important? Somebody may be asking me. Be patient and ask me 5 years from now. Remain the way you are and keep going. I will be glad to answer you 5 years from now. When you watch what happened to those who are 5 years ahead of you now, when you watch the pain, when you watch 3 children stand before you and say, "Daddy, we are hungry," when you watch your child become an armed robber simply because of failure, then you will ask that question again. Is success important? It's a terrible thing. Please be careful how you listen to people. Don't criticize men of God. Don't criticize leaders, even business experts. Be careful. Right now we have all kinds of business experts. Anyone just chokes himself with tie, holding all kinds of hilarious seminars everywhere and teaching all kinds of garbages and nonsense. And in the end of it, you are so motivated because of the rhetorics and the gimmicks that are used. And then at the end of it, you find out that your life is just an emotional roller coaster and you get back into square one. Be careful. I desire to succeed with my life. I have tasted a bit of it. It gives me joy to be able to lead a flourishing ministry. I know how painful it is to suffer and struggle in ministry. I know how painful it is to come and prepare as a man of God and not have anybody to bless. Today, by the grace of God, we are reaching several nations of the world and we are only starting. I have tasted a bit of the potency of these laws and I know they work. They will work for you in the name of Jesus Christ. They will work for you in the name of Jesus Christ. One of, I think it's Patience, I spot her here. She sent me a text, very, very funny text. And she's a student in the School of Ministry. And I'd been teaching them a number of things. And then she went to Zamfara and had an opportunity to pray for someone to be filled with the Holy Spirit. According to her, she was shaking and wondering whether it will happen. And I mean, in minutes, that person was shaking and blasting in tongues. And she called me, said, "My God, look at this thing." And then she tried it on another person and it worked flawlessly. Predictability. Predictability. There are keys. Nobody is born rich. Nobody is born blessed. Are we together? He said, "In iniquity did my mother conceive me." You can live out like that or you can change. I made a decision that I will change. It's a decision that I made. And I want you tonight, if you have not made that decision, to make a strong decision. I'm taking it gradually with us because I want us to understand this. Let's define terminologies, right? We're going to define 14 words that we'll be playing around with in this series. 14 words that have been misunderstood. I don't want to make the mistake of believing that when I mention a word, all of us understand that this is what I'm saying. Write it down. The first word, I've already defined it: success, the accomplishment of a worthy goal. Am I boring you? Please write. The second word I want us to define and familiarize ourselves with is failure. What is failure? Write it down. That's the second word. I'll be very, very fast so that we can stop somewhere and pray. Jesus, we bless you. Failure is a state or condition of not meeting a desirable or intended objective. Failure is a state or a condition of not meeting a desirable or intended objective. You are said to have failed when you do not meet up to a desirable objective or an intended objective. The inability to meet your desired or intended objectives, generally speaking, is regarded as failure. Word number three, favor. What is favor? And maybe I may dwell a bit here just trying to explain a few things. Because our general mainstream definition of favor, especially in the body of Christ, is very limited. It does not bring out the substance, especially when it has to do with favor with men. Generally, we define favor as unmerited access, you know, and that is right. We define favor as grace, that is right. But let me give you three definitions of favor very quickly. Number one, favor means help, full stop. Favor means what? Help. H-E-L-P. Help. Whether divine or human, favor means help. Still defining favor. What is favor? God and men contributing to ensure that you succeed. What is favor? God and men contributing to ensure that you succeed. That's favor. When God comes into partnership with you, when men come into partnership with you to ensure that you succeed, then you are said to be a favored person. God and men contributing to ensure that you succeed. Number three, what is favor? Men investing their time, credibility, and resources to help you achieve your goals. What is favor? Men investing their time, men investing their credibility, men investing their resources to help you achieve your goals. When a man invests his time, that's favor. When a man endorses you, puts his reputation and credibility on the line to make sure you rise, that's favor. When men invest their resources, be it spiritual, financial, whatever it is, to help you achieve your goals, that's favor. Never forget these three definitions. They are powerful definitions. Word number four, grace. Let's define grace. Word number four, grace. I wrote something down. I had to tear it out of my little note. I want to read it for you. One day I was inspired and I wrote it down about grace. Just pay attention as I read. Grace, as understood by many, is seen as unmerited access. Listen to me. This very confusion, exaggeration over the powerful concept of grace stems from this one definition. Okay, the very confusion and exaggeration over the powerful concept of grace stems from this one definition. A very correct and biblical definition, but very limiting. To define grace only as unmerited access is a correct definition. It is biblical, but it is very limiting and sometimes can be destructive. Grace, this is what I define grace as. No, I will tell you, just listen to me. I'm giving you my contemplations. Just listen. Grace is a multidimensional reality in the realm of the spirit and in the dealings of God with men that doesn't just refer to things unmerited, but realities and provisions that are exclusively found or domiciled and accessed from God in Christ. In other words, the definition of grace is not just limited to things unmerited, but it is also anything that comes from God. Are we together now? It is a generic expression that attempts to communicate a reality, a provision, a possibility of things not obtained from the earth realm, but from God, and only in and through Christ. Now listen, I wrote this down. This definition allows for other dimensions of grace to be captured and experienced. This morning, the Holy Spirit, okay, this is me writing, permit me, I'm reading as I just wrote directly. This morning, the Holy Spirit himself gave me the best and most concise definition of grace I have ever heard and known. And I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit told me about grace. Ready? James 1:17. This is how the Holy Spirit defined grace for me. James 1:17. Please put it up for us very fast. Let's see how we can gain time. James 1:17. This is the definition of grace. Read it. One to read. Every good and perfect, every good gift and every perfect gift that comes from above and cometh down from the Father of light, stop, is called grace. Anointing is grace. Wisdom is grace. Promises achieved is grace. Anything that is not within the jurisdiction of the earth realm that requires coming down from heaven, from the Father of light, and can only be available in Christ and through Christ is called grace. Let me finish this. I wrote something down. Every good gift, the word gift there, please leave that scripture up. Let me just explain something. The word gift there is the word dosis, and it means the act of giving. And every perfect gift is the word dorema, which means the thing given. So it talks about both the thing given and the act of giving. Are we together now? Then it says it's from above and all of that. Now this scripture shows that grace is not limited to gifts alone, but the very act of communicating things from God to men is called grace. Are you getting my point now? So that grace is not just a thing you collect. The very act of communicating with God is called grace. Now I define grace for you. Write this down. Grace is the sum total. Grace is the sum total of any and all things made available to man by God, comma. I'll take it again. Grace is the sum total of any and all things made available to man by God, but only in and through Christ. Grace is the sum total of any and all things made available to man by God, but only in and through Christ. So the anointing is an expression of grace. Prosperity is an expression of grace. Salvation, an expression of grace. Protection, all of these things are expressions of grace. Look at me. When you define grace only as unmerited access, then there is no space for obedience to be featured in grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Now, when you obey and get results, it is true that what God is giving you is unmerited, in that you cannot receive it. Are we together now? But being unmerited does not stop the fact that there are conditions to fulfill. The cheapest thing we get is salvation, and even salvation requires a response. You use your mouth, you use your hands, you use your legs, you use your tears. There is a participation. The gift is unmerited, but the act of receiving is merited. Are we together? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever does not call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever believes in him shall have life everlasting. Whosoever does not believe in him is condemned already. These are the words of Jesus. Please don't limit grace to just unmerited access. Grace is access. Definition number five. Let's hurry up. Works. Let's define works. Now that I've defined grace, I have to define works. Because if I do not define works, then there will be a lot of confusion. I also wrote something about works here. Listen to my contemplation about works and then we'll dictate. Works, on the other hand, should not be equated with action, rather certain kinds of activities. Look up, let me explain to you what I mean. Many times we have been taught, the moment you hear the word works, you just mean, I don't have any works again. You are joking. We will work for the rest of our lives. There is works. Works as defined in context to grace and in context to the Old Testament refers to certain kinds of activities that were captured in the Judaic laws and were captured in the commandments that were given to Moses, that men must do ceremonial activities to the end that they will be able to create a system of atonement for themselves. That's what was abolished. Works is not the same as action. Action is still relevant for results. Do not equate works with actions. The works of the law are different from works. What was abolished was the works of the law. I never will have to slaughter an animal again. I never will have to mediate between a priest to help me reach God. Once and forever, Christ has offered himself. The veil has been torn. That is true. But to mean there is nothing else to do in terms of action, in terms of obedience, in terms of partnership, in terms of participation is a joke. The Bible says we are saved by grace, but that system works through faith. And faith is not just believing and confessing. It's the summation of everything you do in obedience to fulfill the conditions that are tied to the results you desire. It's called faith. It's the word pistis. It doesn't just mean conviction. Conviction first, but the actions that are taken in partnership with that conviction to get a desired outcome. What are works? In the New Testament, every time we talk of works, we mean one word, obedience. Write it down. Works in the New Testament is obedience. Works in the New Testament is partnership. Please write this down. Every time we talk of works, we are not talking about going back to the law, ceremonial cleansings, and all of these rituals that were captured in the Judaic law, and then all the hilarious laws and the stringent conditions that the nation of Israel had to go through. That has been abolished once and forever. But obedience will always be a requirement. Always be a requirement. Partnership will always be a requirement. So works equal obedience to the believer today. Your partnership towards making promises manifest is what I call works. Your partnership towards making promises manifest is what we call works. We need to define this, because I'm going to be playing around with these words, and it's important that all of us, when you hear it, you know what I'm saying. Number what now? Let's hurry up. I will rush now. Number six, excellence. Let's define excellence very quickly. Number six, excellence. What is excellence? Excellence means the highest level of quality available. Write it down. The highest level of quality available is called excellence. The highest level of quality available is called excellence. Another definition, surpassing ordinary standards is called excellence. So you are excellent to the degree to which you can produce the highest level of quality available. You are excellent to the degree to which you surpass ordinary standards. Can I continue? Next word, mediocrity. What is mediocrity? The quality of being average. Mediocrity is the quality of being average. Please participate. Pay attention to these words. The quality of being average. What does it mean to be mediocre? To be common. What does it mean to be mediocre? To be indifferent. The quality of being average. The quality of being common. The quality of indifference. What does it mean to be mediocre? Ordinary, like everyone else. Ordinary. Like everyone else is the attitude of mediocrity. Average, common, indifference, like everyone else. Next definition, eight. Am I right? Number eight, relationships. What are relationships? Write this down. Relationships are advantageous connections. Simple. Relationships are advantageous connections, broadly speaking, connections, but with respect to what we are dealing with, advantageous connections. Everyone say advantageous connections. Say it inside and outside. Advantageous connections. Write this down. Usually mutually beneficial. Usually mutually beneficial. So we are talking about advantageous connections. This is my definition. That is usually mutually beneficial. That means all the parties involved in that connectivity should benefit. Relationships can be both divine and human. Write it down. Relationships can be both divine and human. It is possible to have a relationship with God. It's possible to have a relationship with Satan. It's possible to have a relationship with a demon spirit. It's possible to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Advantageous connections. Number nine, knowledge. What is knowledge? Thank you, Jesus. What is knowledge? The gathering or acquisition of information, the gathering or acquisition of information or facts. That's called knowledge. The gathering or acquisition of information, facts, is called knowledge. Many of you are tired of writing. That's the secret to your peace. Just keep writing. What is knowledge? Awareness or familiarity. What is knowledge? Awareness or familiarity that is gained through education or experience. What is knowledge again? Awareness or familiarity that is gained through experience or through education. Can I continue? Number 10, understanding. The 10th terminology we are defining, understanding. What is understanding? Comprehension. Comprehension. In one word, understanding is comprehension. Eleven, wisdom. We're almost there. 11, wisdom. Correct application of knowledge also means accurate application of knowledge. Write it down. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Also refers to the accurate application of knowledge. When knowledge is applied accurately and correctly, it's called wisdom.
Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us.
Do you know what? Do you know what I'm imagining? I'm just imagining how many of you buy me cars and houses and say, Apostle, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, no, look, you will be too blessed to do it. Even if you don't like me, you will do it. You will turn back. One day I'll come to your house, and when others are languishing, I will see you together with your children giving God praise and say, today is a day off. We are just worshiping and blessing his name. And people will say, are you in Nigeria? You say, no, I'm only here, but we sit on a throne and we manipulate things according to our order. Remember, I used to say this thing years ago. Believe it, oh, believe it. I imagine you going to your mother and your father and saying, Mama, I know you did not make it in this life, but I have a surprise. Cover her eyes and take her somewhere and say, Mama, the car you did not drive, this is it. Let the devil do anything he would do. Do you think your mother will be happy? You are going to someone's house and you are seeing them want to tear your members' clothes because of rent. I must kill you now. How much? 250,000. That's all right. That's all right. In 2 minutes, it's there. God bless you. Not alone. I pray that God will help you. God will make this happen. Someone will step into your home and see peace between you and your children and be born again there. No preaching. And say, this is what I've been fighting. This is what I'm teaching you. If you pay attention, I don't care what tribe, I don't care what background, I don't care what is happening or not happening in your life. You listen to this, you will arise. Number 12, prosperity. Let's define prosperity. What does it mean to prosper? It means to do well. Quickly, please. Prosperity means to do well. Prosperity means to excel. Prosperity means to flourish. Prosperity means to thrive. It means to do well. It means to excel. It means to flourish. It means to thrive. That's what it means to prosper. Two more definitions and we're there. Number 13, goals. G-O-A-L-S, goals. What are goals? Clearly defined desires, objectives, and outcomes. What are goals? Clearly defined desires, objectives, and outcomes. Clearly defined desires, objectives, and outcomes. 14, the last word. Value. V-A-L-U-E. Value. What is the definition of value? Write it down. Point of difference. What is the definition of value? Point of difference. Another definition, your uniqueness. Another definition, your skill. So what is value? Your point of difference, your uniqueness, your skill. Write this down under value. Everything that constitutes an advantage in your life and is capable of blessing humanity and glorifying God is called value. I repeat. Everything that constitutes an advantage in your life and is capable of blessing humanity and glorifying God is called value. Everything that constitutes an advantage in your life and is capable of blessing humanity and is capable of glorifying God is called value. Take a deep breath. You have tried. You have been writing. Some of you, that's a key to drive laziness. You've not done this in a long time. I gave you 14 definitions that have controlled the destinies of many. I gave you 14 definitions that are capable of changing your life from tonight. I gave you 14 definitions that will be the key between your joy or your pain. Listen, I gave you 14 definitions that will make your church, your ministry, your group excel or fail. I gave you 14 definitions that will tell us what you will become. Write this down. Success is predictable. I don't need to see your results to know whether you will be successful. Success is predictable now. I can look at your life now and predict with digital precision whether or not you will succeed. There are people, I look at their lives and I know they will fail. It's a very sad truth. They will be offended and they will think are you God? And then you see that you really failed. Failure is also predictable. Write it down. So success is predictable, semicolon. Failure is also predictable. I can look at your life, brothers and sisters, and I can know that you are going to be a very powerful prayer warrior. You are going to be a very great word addict. But I know that as far as success is concerned, you may not be very successful. I can look at your life and I know that you are going to be a very rich man. You will buy the jets and the Rolls Royces, but you will never be a spiritual man. I can look at your life and know that you may be a happy man in terms of finances, but marriage, you will pay a deep price. I can look at your life and know you are going to be a very good husband, but a very poor and broke man. I can look at your life and know that you are going to be a very intelligent graduate, but you may be jobless for the rest of your life, or you may barely be employed and remain at the lower levels. I can look at your life and know you will never rise to a managerial position. Listen, the spirit realm is higher than the natural realm, but it's not unpredictable. We look at the clouds and we can forecast with a very commendable level of accuracy that there will be rain, and it happens. A pilot tells you, we are landing at 1:05. 1:05 on the dot, the tire is touching the ground. We can tame our environment with that degree of accuracy. What makes you think you need money in your account to prove you are successful? I can look at you now and know that even if 1 million is in your account, it will run away as fast as it came. You know, years ago, as I began to pursue the things of the spirit, I stumbled across materials that taught on this. I folded them with speed and threw them one side. I felt, look, let me press on this. How foolish I was. Imagine that I came for Koinonia now, and after preaching a powerful message, I now tell you, all of you, you are going to sow. My mind is not stable. I need, you have to pay my rent. I'm blessing you. The Bible says A and B and C. Everybody stand up. Worship team, you are bringing 50,000. Prayer band, you are bringing 1 million. Beggar, you are not praying for nothing. 1 million. Leaders, you are bringing 2 million. Oh, what a cost way of leadership. You will never bless anybody being a nuisance that way. God did not send me to be a nuisance to you. He sent me to bless you. Yes. It will never happen in this ministry where I will say, please, raise offering for me so that I can eat well. No. You know what we call escape velocity in physics? Where you have gone past certain things. It's not pride. It will never happen again till Jesus comes. I found my way to better days. I found my way to better days. For many of you tonight, you're on your way to better days. Let them laugh at you. You're on your way to better days. Status is changed. Snowfall climb. I'm on my way to better days. Prophesy to yourself.
Stars is changing. There's no more decline. I'm on my way to better days.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
For 1 minute and say, Lord, I am truly changing. I'm not just motivating myself for nothing. There is a way that can lead a man out of misery. There is a way that can lead a man out of a life of pain. There is a way that can lead a man to the wealthy place. There is a way that can lead a man to a life of impact, a life of dignity, a life of beauty, a life of peace, a life of glory. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Thank you. Sit down. Our time is gone. Let me teach for a few minutes and then we'll pray. Now we've had all the peripherals. Please listen, I want to teach you. You just sang that you are on your way to better days. For some of you, you were joking. For some of you, you were emotional. But for a few of you, you meant it. You know why? Let me ask all of you now in 1 minute. I want you to cast your mind at the worst thing you have seen happen to you and your parents. For some of you, is that you were thrown outside. For some of you, is that you had admission, but there was no money to pay it. For some of you, is that you had to go and sleep with somebody somewhere to raise 10,000 and bring back home to eat. For some of you, is that you even found yourself in occultic groups because you wanted charm for protection or success. For some of you, there are men of God probably listening to me. You have had to, under pressure, join fraternities because you are hoping that it will give you ministry connection. Listen, if you don't do anything about your success, failure will force you to do wrong things. If you don't do anything about your success, failure will force you to do wrong things. When I look at people who say, God forbid, over my dead body, I will never do this and that, I tell them, keep quiet. You don't know the pressure that failure forces people. Pressure can make you do things you never imagined you will do. I've shared with you here, I think it's in Koinonia, years ago when I counseled a lady whose situation broke my heart and it motivated my appetite to understanding success. Her mother, true story, her mother was working with a boss and the father, I think, was not working. And then they got to a point in their life where they were stranded. I don't know if it was whatever it is, but it was a very serious issue. And the woman went to the boss to plead if she could have a raise in her salary to allow her cater for the needs of the family, being the chief burden bearer, which is very wrong, of the entire family. And according to what the lady told me, she said the boss looked at her own mother and said, you are not a small girl, you know what to do. If you want a raise, someone's mother, matured lady, you know what to do. And the mother initially refused. But when she went to meet the father, the situation, the pressure was overwhelming. Both of them agreed that the mother should go and sleep with the man. Now, yeah, I know we can shout in church, I won't do it. Don't talk like that, because the person who did it is not an idiot. When somebody sits down with the head of a goat all through the night, he never planned it. That's what pressure means. When the girl told me that thing, do you know what happened? Do you know that after the man paid that woman her money, the shame, she had to still quit the job and leave. When the lady told me, I said, oh God, what is this? We're here jumping in church saying, since I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. That is such a lie. I've seen many righteous people forsaken. I've seen many of their seed beg for bread. We sing it by faith and I believe it. But I have seen many righteous people, such as our parents, such as your brother and your sister. You know them. They love God. They have been dejected and forsaken. They forsook loves and good things left them. Success is predictable. Failure is predictable. You can make up your mind from today that you are going to start a journey that will lead you into a dimension of success. You can make up your mind today that you are going to begin in a way and a dimension that you have never seen, to obey these laws and excel. Let's start with at least one or two of the laws for tonight. Ready? The laws of success. Thank you, Jesus. Ready? The first law of success, the law of relationships. Write it down. The law of relationships. Ignore this and suffer for the rest of your life. Embrace this and watch your life change as though you are holding a charm. Everybody say the law of relationships. Shout it. The law of... Write this down. Success is highly relationship dependent. Success is highly relationship dependent. Your success and my success in life is highly relationship dependent. Number two, everything money can buy, relationships can buy it. Write it down. Everything I don't care what it is. Anything at all that money can buy, relationship can pay for it. Money can buy a house, relationships can buy a house. Money can help you build a church, relationship can help you build a church. Listen, money, as you know, naira and kobo, dollars, pounds, yen, these things are not the only means of exchange. Relationship is currency. You can use it to pay for things. Relationship is currency. You can use it to pay for things. There are many ignorant people who want to be successful, but they do not know the law of relationships. So they have to look for money to pay for everything. You ask them and they tell you, I need 5 million. I need 10 million. Whereas the relationship you have is worth billions of naira in value, and it is capable of paying for anything money can pay for. There are people who have had to pay hundreds of thousands in a seminar, and another person, relationship paid for it and he entered free. Are we together now? There are people who have had to pay for rent, and others, relationship has been paying their rent. There are people who have had to pay for everything in life. Listen, if you use money to buy everything in life, you are not wise. No. It is a total display of lack of wisdom to use finances to get everything in life. It has nothing to do with being rich. That's the mistake our parents made. I love our parents, don't get me wrong. Some of you here are parents. We love you. We honor you with all our hearts. Most people think you only succeed when you start having salary, 100,000 coming. And they now say, wow, I have 100,000. Then they have a need. They ignore relationships. And something that would be cheaply paid for, they would have to look for money and pay for it. I have paid for many things in my life using relationship. Relationship like a debit card. You can use it and withdraw many other things. You can use it and pay for many other things. Relationships today, by the grace of God, has given me platforms. I am connected to people. Listen, connectivity is a key to success. You must be connected. Relationships can help you access anointings. Relationships can help you access endorsements. Relationships can help you access favor. 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 The major ingredient in success is favor. But it takes relationships.
We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words.
Hallelujah. There are things in my life I would have paid for financially. Let me give you an example. This great auditorium, an act of kindness and benevolence by CGC. We have never paid a single kobo for this venue. And some of you who are into real estate know, if you value this and we have to pay every week for all of this, imagine the millions of naira that relationship has paid for. Yes. Something in your life that you are hoping to change today is relationship dependent. Something, a dimension in your life you must enter now is relationship dependent. Unfortunately, for many of us, all we know is just love relationship. Husband and wife, somebody who likes a lady likes him back. That's only an aspect of it. Your relationship with God is a key to your success. Correct? You excel in life on the strength of your relationship with God. The healthier your relationship with God, the healthier your relationship with the Spirit of God, the greater your success. prodigal son, please help me with the sound, please. The prodigal son made a big mistake. He broke relationship to look for money. Are you seeing the mistake of the prodigal son? Thank you. He jeopardized the potential for relationship. He had a relationship with his father, and on the strength of his relationship with his father, he did not pay for food, he did not pay for protection. But here's what he said: I don't want relationship, I rather want money. And he ended relationship and got money. What happened to the money? Without relationships, your finances will always be finite. There is only so much. Relationship is the secret of continual financial flow. Relationship is the secret. It is relationship that will keep finances. I'm not talking about finances necessarily, but I'm just using it as a case study. Relationships. People have blessed me today purely based on relationships. Not even as in the capacity as of a man of God. Just to bless. Do you know that somebody in Zaria today has the heart to bless you, but you do not have the connection? Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Somebody has the capacity to pay for your rent without begging and without lying. Somebody has the capacity to give you free land purely based on relationship. During my birthday, people did things for me that almost brought tears from my eyes. I usually am not into celebrating birthdays and the rest. The leaders did something touching. Different people did things, but there were certain strategic blessings and things they were done that I said, God, what is this? What is this? Relationships. Relationship can give you access to realms where your physical qualification should not allow you enter there. Many of us have been trivializing relationships. That's why we keep hustling. The Bible says the labor of the fool wearieth every one of them. He does not know the road to the city. By the grace of God, I understand the ministry of destiny helpers. The ministry of destiny helpers is futile without relationship. God has used me as a destiny helper to many. God has used many people as destiny helpers to me. Hallelujah. Cheap victories that many of us lose. Cheap victories. Some of our parents do not know anybody, and so you pay for everything. And when you want to use money alone to be successful, a day will come, you will have all the money in your life, and you'll find out that there are some things money cannot do. Are we together? There are people, you know, one of the greatest, this is one of the greatest lessons that I've learned from my father. My father is a man who was wealthy in relationships. I used to think he was just, you know, just someone who just likes people. But now that I've grown, I have seen the wisdom. Relationship paid many bills for my father. Relationships. Let me tell you something. Relationship is an investment. The same way you invest in business is the way you invest in relationship. All this something for nothing is a joke. There are many of us, we have this self-flattery. They don't like me. You don't call me, I won't call you. Sit down there. The day you need the person, you don't call. That's when you know relationships are important. Relationships are very serious, value-adding investments. There are times you will call your destiny helper, he will not respond. There are times you will send him 100 naira credit. There are times you will say, sir, just to appreciate you. You will take out time to compose a text message as if you would die there, and he will just send you one word, God bless you. But it's working. The day you now ask for help, you have set a template. There are people today, if you ever see their text, they are begging. The moment the need is met, they forget the relationships. Until the day a need arises, uncle, it's me again. No, it's junior. Say, hey, I know you are junior. What is the issue? Say, uncle, you know I'm in 400 level now. Honestly, I say, are you the first to be there? You are matured enough to start working. Uncle, we are traveling somewhere. We are going somewhere. And he says, don't be stupid. Don't you ever call my line again. Most of you, when you call your helpers, this is what they tell you: it's only when you have trouble that you call me. Anytime anybody tells you that, you need to strengthen your relationship. Many of us have very bad relationship maintenance systems. For as long, I know many great people, sadly some of them even great people I know, they don't know how to keep relationships at all. Anytime you see their call, one missed call, two missed call, they're in trouble. They need a favor, they need a help. Some of you are born again tongue talking, but you are like that, and you have closed doors. Closed doors. Your friend is celebrating a birthday you can never remember. Say, I'm too busy. Are we together now? Your whatever it is, I'm too busy. Ejimi is my friend, I love him. And you know, sometimes you see him and the wife and the two children. Of course, not everybody will have access to come and visit me. That's the privilege of friendship. Nobody is born with intimacy by default. You walk your way into it. Listen, I am a busy person, it is true. There are many people who say, Apostle, I've been trying to see you. What ordinance do I have to see you? What covenant do I have with who to see you? I've been trying to see you. You are not attending to me. That's a foolish statement. You should ask yourself, those who have unlimited access, what are they doing? That's the key. In time past, there were offices I tried to access. I've shared with you my story. Years ago, when I went to look for a loan, I won't tell you the amount. I went to look for a loan in a bank. These people wasted my time and did all kinds of things, and I found out I had brain capital but no relationship capital. And I made up my mind. Some of us, the fire is getting hotter by the day, and you think the key is to get a job. Quickly find relationships. Do you know there are people who are not working, but relationship is paying them salary every month until they get a job? Yes, sir. I know people like that. My mother has a relationship with me forever. My father has a relationship with me forever. My siblings have relationships with me forever. As I rise, they rise. It's called blessed by association. Listen, once the easiest way to be rich is to find somebody building something great and invest quickly and help the person rise. And as you rise, chop, I chop. I'm teaching you. Listen, you see, the body of Christ, there are many foolish people in the body of Christ. You watch people when they are starting. You are the first to run your mouth. I don't believe in them. Now you have access to them. There are people years ago, they had access to me. They would have been some of the closest people to me today, enjoying every blessing, but they just saw it today. Now, do you know the door you enter kicking your leg, tomorrow you will feel a form? So now that God gives you the opportunity, there are people who use 50 naira to secure a relationship that is worth millions today. That's wise investment. The day that great man was looking for water, you quickly carried your 50 naira. The Bible gives us a parable, I don't have time, in the Bible, where a man, a man was about to be sacked by a king. Are we together? And he knew he was in trouble. He had been defrauding people, a tax collector. Now they were going to throw him away. Do you know what he did? He quickly called the people and said, how much do you owe? So amount, I reduce it for you. And the moment they sacked him, he went back to them. I scratch your back, scratch my own too. Now, this is a system that the world uses, but believers don't know this. Koinonia is very connected to several people. You see us connected to the military. We are connected to the police. We are connected to medical personnel. We are connected to politicians, because you rise through a network of relationships. You don't know which. It's not just about being selfish. It's the way it happens. Relationships. Everybody shout relationships. Some of us, if our parents knew this, some of them, their classmates today are the ministers in charge of ABC. No relationship to bless them. Is that true? Do you know there are people who sit down today and calls just come? They call them one old, promise, where are you? I'm trusting God. For what? Come. There's create one committee that doesn't make sense and say, sit down there, you are the chairman in charge of it. When God helps you after 7 months, they say, okay, that's all right, it's dissolved. Just because you must be blessed. Ask Mephibosheth how he paid for royalty. Relationships. A man who was crippled. Are you learning what I'm... Ask the disciples how they became apostles. Relationship. Even when they ran away for 3 days, when Jesus resurrected, they quickly apologized. Lord, I'm sorry, I'm still on your team. And they became apostles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of you right here, you come for koinonia all the time and you have a resentful attitude. This brother, you are not my class, you are not wearing my shoe. Rather than for you to sit down and say, this brother is always taking notes, God is taking him somewhere. He may have one trouser, 200 naira, one shoe, one whatever, but what is entering his spirit is programming him for greatness. Some of you resent every other person who is not you. You are losing big time in life. Just this law alone will bless you. I am a benefactor of relationships. By the grace of God, God has connected our ministry with all kinds of people. There is nothing at this level, by the grace of God, there is nobody within our sphere of influence that we want to meet that we cannot meet. It's impossible. Somebody knows somebody. Do you know, statistically, they say you are 4 people away from anybody you want to meet. 4 people. 4 people. There are others who will invite a guest minister in the capacity of his office and pay 1 million honorarium. Someone else, because of relationship, you say, no, whatever, you know, I mean, we are together. I pray for you from the depth of my heart that the power of relationships will show in your life from today. Please sit down. Many times you see an old woman carrying firewood on her head, firewood that is as heavy as 5 men. She puts it on her head walking. The question I ask is, where are her relationships? This mama is 70 years. She spent 70 years on earth, and you cannot build a relationship with one successful person. Listen, if you are up to 25 years hearing me and there is no one successful person in your life, you are really failing. Hear what I'm saying. You are really failing. There is nobody to run to when things go bad. There are people like that. You are a pastor, you want to hold a convention, and you are stranded financially. Nobody in your circle of influence has reason to say, please, sir, cover my shame for me. Relationships cover your shame. Relationships cover your shame. Who is standing in for you? Who is helping you rise? You go to an oil company holding your certificate and you knock at the gate, and the gate man says, yes. Say, I prayed and God led me to come and submit my CV. He says, bring it. As he collects it, he throws it inside a dustbin, and you go back rejoicing and keep seeing visions of yourself working in an oil company till you are past the age that they will receive you, because there's no relationship. Another unbeliever, let me tell you this, and I say this sincerely, this is one secret that Muslims have. Relationships. Relationships. You will hardly see a Muslim child go somewhere that his father cannot create. That's why some, of course, I love them. We love Muslims and all of that. And you find out that there are some of them, you see them in your schools, they are not even serious, because they know that relationship has already had, they had the degree before they started. So this is just a ceremony for all of that to happen, because relationship has created a degree somewhere. There is a space that has been created since they were in 200 level waiting for them to occupy. But believers don't have that wisdom. I show you the life of God versus the principles. Are we together? There is no day in my life that relationship does not bless me. There is no day. I say it, may God forgive me if I'm lying, but it's true. There is no day in my life that relationship does not bless me. You cook by yourself. You wash your clothes by yourself. You intercede for yourself. No relationship. Nobody seen anything about you to pray for you by yourself. You are looking for favor by yourself. They drive you alone. You walk alone. You counsel yourself. You motivate. Abba. Say relationships. Say the law of relationships. I made a statement years ago and I repeat it every once and again, that we will all be great, right? And the greater part is that we will all know ourselves. Praise God. Sorry about that. Some of you here will never have any helper. Do you know why? You are anti-friendship. Your persona is anti-friendship. You are resentful, you are rude, you are callous, you are very, very offensive in your approach. Turn and tell one another good evening, and somebody turns and you are looking at the person, you are not my class. Stop that. Oh, listen, he that wants friends must first show himself. Humble yourself in this training ground where nobody knows who is who. It's only God that knows whose destiny. You see me hug people here. Some of you see me hug our little children and you think that I'm just hugging them. I will continue to hug them because at their age you were not thinking like them. That means most likely they will be better than us. At age 12, some of us were absolutely foolish. These children at age 12 pray in tongues, love God, join prayer department, some of them. I mean, look at a destiny like an arrow, and you are missing an opportunity to invest. You now come when it's too late, when the person has become a big man. Do you know there are people who call my phone all the time sending insults and saying, Apostle, whatever it is they call you, you are claiming you don't know me. I say, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know you. Don't bully me. I don't know you. Listen, when you celebrate a great man when he's great, it's too late. You came way too late. You don't celebrate greatness when greatness manifests. You celebrate greatness in the process. You participate in it. That's why I'm excited for you, because I have the privilege of participating in your success. How in the world can I fail? Listen, with all humility, there are people today by the grace of God that I have raised who will never allow me beg for bread till Jesus comes. Even if I decide to be careless and I stop obeying any law of lifting. You have sat down on a, you know how they do, what they call it, let me not talk business here, all those businesses that you do, you sit down, you bring somebody and you keep rising. That's how you can sit on a chair and keep rising like that forever, because you paid the price to build someone. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Question: whose destiny are you investing in today? Question: who will remember you when he gets to the throne? If you are not there when I'm in the cave, don't expect to be there when I'm on the throne. If you were not there when I was on the cave, don't expect to be featured. There are many lousy people in the body of Christ with an entitlement mentality. You hear them say, I knew you. I knew where you were not in. What did you do about it? When I was walking my way, when I was hungry, did you ever give me water? You were part of those grumbling and talking. And now that rejected stone has become the chief cornerstone. You are now seeing the man of God in glory and power. And you are saying, we are colleagues. We are not colleagues. No, sir. Listen, be careful and don't let men bully you with their complacency and their inability to invest in your relationship. Anybody who does not think you are worth a good relationship should not be found in your future. There are people, listen, I'm rounding up. There are some of you, Many people who would have lifted you look at you now and they think you are failures because of what is happening. They gist about you. Sometimes you hear it, sometimes they say it to your face, but they don't know what it is that is happening. And then when you rise, you see them come with entitlement mentality. You should give me a house, you should give me a car. And you ask them why. They say, because I knew you before. No, sir. Everybody who believed in me when I was nothing, it's impossible for them to fail in life because they took a risk by believing in someone they never saw any result. And now their risk is yielding dividends. So it is not wickedness when you see somebody bless somebody. There are people in my life, no matter how foolish and stupid they become, I'm bound to them forever because they believed in me when I was nothing. Rejoice not over me, my enemies. For though I fall, yet I will rise again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you in the whole of your family, nobody believes in you. They've told you to your face, you will not amount to anything. Obey these laws and watch God shock every one of them to their knees. Apostle, I want to be blessed. What are you doing? I just need 100,000 to start a business. Who fooled you that that's all it takes to succeed? You see that? You have 2 tiers of rice in your house. It can pay for a growing relationship. You can cook food, invite 5 of your friends and say, look, just to honor you guys, I know that I don't have much now, but I just love you. After 10 years, they will tell you, remember that our rice? Now enter this 5-star hotel. Let's now eat my own version of the rice. And someone looks at you. Listen, someone looks at and say, you shouldn't be in the palace. You say, I paid for it since. I paid for the palace when I could afford it. I show you wisdom keys that men are using to climb ladders of greatness. So you can see somebody in the future come. You see somebody in the future, no charisma, no anointing, yet favor will never stop leaving him. Everybody knows him. We're about leaving Bida today, and a man of God who also came for a ministration. The man of God came for a ministration. I was about to enter the car, let's go, and then the protocol stopped me and said, please, I need to attend to him. I turned to him and I said, hello, sir, I don't know you. He said, sir, you don't need to know me. I came for a ministration and I heard you were around. I stopped. The guy was holding a seed in his hand. Say relationships. There are people who will be talking. Who should we lift here? And somebody will say, please, I have one daughter. I have one son, not my biological child, but this child is so well mannered, very lovely person. The person did not read this course, but that person has character, and say, send for that person quickly. You see people who read something that has no business with what they are doing, yet they keep rising to be directors. Relationships keep promoting them. Tonight we are going to pray. I will stop here. Lord, one will continue the remaining next week. There are plenty laws I will share with you. The easiest way to succeed is to invest in relationships. Relationship is a stream of income. When you are writing all your streams of income, write relationships. It will cost you now, because under relationships you don't sell anything, you give for free. Sometimes you need to be a fool investing in relationships. Some of you, after this meeting, you need to go and sit down and say, Lord, who are the 5 most valuable people in my life? And start calling them. Sometimes you don't even need 5, you just need 1. And say, sir, do you know there are people in my life who send credit all the time? They don't have much. It may be 100 naira. I'm not saying you should do it, but I see the passion they are making to establish a relationship with me. Billy Graham, we talk about Billy Graham as the great evangelist. Do you know one of the reasons why he was great? He had endorsements of every president. Before that happened, it was said every time Billy Graham would write letters to members of parliament and the president of the United States wanting meeting with them, they would throw away the letter. He kept doing it, and one day just one person attended to him. A day will come, the door will open. Don't think you will knock once and it will open. You see, the thing about relationship is that because of what you are looking for, sometimes it will have to sting your ego. Don't be embarrassed. Pay the price. That's the price for the value you are looking for. I see a number of men of God, sometimes they want to see me maybe for a meeting, and they come once, twice, and say, please, what is the big deal about this one? Please, we are all equal before God. And I say, what an unwise person. I have pursued men with anointings. I have humbled myself. I have stayed for weeks and months just to encounter people, and the encounter was not more than 2 minutes because of value. I have pursued uncommon mentors. I have spent money. I have sown seeds. I still sow seeds into the lives of people to maintain relationship. What have you done that you are complaining? There are people, just to stand after service and be patient, everybody's pulling their mouth. It's too late. Apostle, I need to see you specially. And I say, look, I may not have all the time. And then you see them frowning. Abba, let's respect value. No great man needs you. You are the one who needs him. So you must pay the price. Pay the price. When I meet people who have what I look for, I don't go as Apostle Joshua Selman. If it means me sweeping the office, you've had my testimony of when I wanted to take a trip to the US to go and scrub the toilet of Charles and Francis Hunter. I was not going there as colleagues. I wanted to go and scrub their toilets for 2 weeks. It pained me when they died and I didn't meet them. Relationships. How do you travel to US to go and scrub toilet? If you can, you snap yourself scrubbing toilet and put on Facebook and say it is the Lord's doing. Most people who don't understand this will say, look at how this person is disgracing himself. Never be embarrassed to invest in quality destiny relationships. There are useless relationships that are going nowhere. Cut them this night. I release the grace on you. There are people who are going nowhere and they are forcing you. You come around them, you don't love God, you don't think, you don't plan, you don't do nothing, and they say 2 weeks you've not. Leave them all. Love is a command, relationship is not. Choose your friends. It is within your power. If you are not going where I'm going, I love you, but you have to stay. We can greet in church, we can greet around, but you cannot be my destiny friend not having my convictions. A man who has to make you change your conviction in his presence is not a destiny friend. Leave them. Who are you believing in right now that you have not seen anything in their life? Who are you believing right now? Some of these people, some of them are outside. They may be sitting, smelly clothes. They can't afford perfume, torn clothes, but they are receiving. You can reject them because of the privilege that you have. And tomorrow, you did not know that that was your governor you were kicking away. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you did not know your time of visitation. Your time came and you allowed it to pass you. We are going to cry to God tonight. Father, I want to engage the law of relationship. Stand up. Please pray. Rise up on your feet. I'd like you to thank God for this message. We just started introducing it tonight. Lift your hands and thank God. Open your mouth and say, God, thank you. You are revealing to me the keys. You are revealing to me the keys. You are revealing to me the keys. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Come be God. Many of you don't know this gentleman. You see this guy? This guy would never fail in life. Ask me why. Because when we started, listen carefully. When he and I started, the time we used to meet in the campus and sit on a slab. And this gentleman, the same way he's holding his guitar, that's how he was a person who was holding the guitar and playing. And everybody usually will be seated when it's time to preach, but he will have to stand with me. There's another dear lady, she was the one who would hold light for me. That's her work. She did it joyfully, bring her torchlight. Every time I was going to read a scripture, she would do it joyfully. Those two people will never beg for bread, not when I'm alive.
Yes, no, 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 it's not amen. This is a reality. I'm serious about it. I can mention names of people. I told you about my principal who I went to visit early this year, and I looked at him. He had become an old man now. And I said, God, in my lifetime, please let me build a house for this man and buy a car for him and bless him with a seed that brings tears from his eyes before he goes to meet the Lord. It's a covenant I made with myself. What did he do? He believed in me. I remember seeing me as a young boy, and he looked at me and said, you are smart. He had a little keyboard and he called me to come and sit down. And I had come from a background of so much complex and pain. He made the entire school to gather in front of me, and he said I should play keyboard for them. And that was the beginning of the healing process for inferiority that today nations are getting blessed from. I was not born this way. Never forget those who believed in you when you were nothing. You see, let me tell you something about greatness. As you start rising, levels will change. Don't let your mind change. Because you will start seeing sycophants, people who you meet on the journey, and they are there to make it look like at your level. Should you now be relating with these ones? This woman used to sweep your house. Now you have become a big woman. You are even going to marry a millionaire. Just find 2,000 and let her go away. Please, this smelly woman, not your class. A wise person will say, if she could sweep my house when I had nothing, she deserves to sweep my palace. She even deserves a palace of her own. Relationships. Anything money can buy, relationship can buy it. You have been paying for too many things using finances. Start using relationships. Lift your voice and cry. God bless you. I love you. Thank you. Lift your voice and say, Lord, connect me. Connect me. Connect me. Pray. Connect me. Jato salaka de bregedia. I know our time is gone, but pray. I'm handing to you keys that will make your life remarkable. Man of God, pray for relationships. Strategic relationships. Covenant relationships. Hallelujah. I like you to pray and say, Lord, take away the spirit of offense, because offense is the killer of relationships. Hear me? Your friends will never be perfect people, just like you are not. There are many of you, your son, you can never have a friend for 2 weeks and not talk about A to B and talk about B to C. It's a devilish attitude. I like you to pray and say, Lord, take that attitude out of my life. Bitterness on offense. Grace to forbear. Grace to endure the weaknesses of my destiny friend. Grace to endure the weaknesses of my valuable friend. Pray, grace, grace. Hallelujah. Listen, Pastor Femi, come. Many of you don't know why you see me stand with Pastor Femi. It's not just because Pastor Femi is my son in the gospel. Let me tell you. Do you know, before he became a pastor, Pastor Femi used to be the one to carry equipment for worship team. This worship team you see. He would carry the equipment and sit down in Rema Chapel. They would finish rehearsal. He would help to close, and God was watching. God was watching. Foolish people were saying, you are wasting time. Why are you human worship? And God was watching. God does not lift proud people. God lifts those who can serve with their heart and their life. Gradually, occasionally he would play bass guitar, humble himself. Even when he became a pastor, there were times he was playing bass guitar. One day I had to tell him, no, it's okay. The person assisting him now, Francis is a friend of Charles. Francis was in protocol. Look at how God is lifting people except you. God is lifting people except you because pride has still kept you where you are. Big manism. There are people who humble themselves to serve. There are people in this ministry. The level of grace they have, they can be geos of great ministries. Yet you see them doing very frail activities. Some of them are in protocol, running around. He resisted the proud. He gives grace to the humble. You see what God has done in his life today. God bless you. Aaron, come. Let me use you. Come, Aaron. Many of you do not know that the first person who was the protocol of E&I was Aaron. This gentleman you see standing here. When we were doing crusades, nothing to write home about. Owing everybody everywhere. Just moving by faith. It was Aaron who was in charge of logistics and buses. I remember shouting at them and pushing them and all of these things. This guy you see, Aaron. Yet till today, the way he is, you still see him greet some of the leaders. Some of these people are young. They are younger than him by far in age, younger than him in experience and all of that. And you see him still act. And where there is an opportunity, you see him serve with all his heart. Aaron is one person who has served me and served God with his life. And I've made a vow and a covenant, no matter what happens, I will never watch him and his children beg for bread. Thank you, Aaron. I love you. Question. A few years from now, who is going to call you? Do you know Ejimi's wife, this lady you see? As of 2010, she was a member of Protocol. Protocol, when we're doing Kingdom Wealth Summit, had not married her husband yet. Protocol, serving with all her heart, establishing quality relationships. Today, look at their children, all copying what the parents are doing. You are allowing time to pass. God is sending strategic people to your life. You insult everybody who is not you. You are out to look for imperfections. This lady is too loud. This person is too this. It is true they have those issues. But can you ignore it and see that God is connecting you with a ladder that will wipe your tears forever? Our parents ignored it. And today they keep frowning at televisions when they see their colleagues. Pray in 1 minute. Open my eyes to see those who are my destiny helpers. Open my eyes to see the relationship I must protect at all costs. Open my eyes, oh God, to see the relationship. Not all relationships are worth keeping. Not all relationships are worth protecting. But I tell you, there are relationships that are worth keeping forever. Assignment. As you go back home today or tomorrow, go and write the list of the 5 most valuable relationships in your life and begin to invest unashamedly in them. 5 people that God has brought in your life that you know you need, no matter what it is. You don't have to invest in everybody. There are people after 20 years, it's still a waste. But let me tell you, there are relationships you must protect at all costs. Some of us are penny wise and pound foolish. We can destroy today or try to enjoy today. We destroyed a relationship that is long lasting. I have seen people, I have counseled people who destroyed relationship with great people over trivial matters. Matters of marriage, matters of money, matters of job, matters of reputation, matters of ego. Broke great relationships with people. I know great men today who have vowed in my presence that they will never help certain people because of their attitude. Last prayer. Father, give me the grace to be friendable. Give me the grace to be relatable. May my life not drive people away. May my words not drive people away. May my attitude not drive people away. May my sense of resentment against people not drive them away. Pray. Success system. Success systems. The mysteries that have been responsible for the uncommon life, the uncommon ease that is in the life of many people. Hallelujah. Look up. We're rounding up now. Some of you need to call your parents tomorrow and restore your relationship. Some of you need to call your siblings and restore your relationship. Some of you need to call maybe some people in your department, even as workers in this house. Some of you need to say, look, I'm tired of this. I can't be fighting everybody. Master the art of celebrating people. That's one of the keys of relationship. Master the art of lavishly and truly celebrating people. Ah, Marcelina, you have a lovely voice. Amaka, you have a lovely voice. Ah, MD, you are playing well. Don't just say what is special. You see, the moment you trivialize people's worth, they run away from you. That's why you never see me talk about any man of God and try to show that I am higher. No. You hardly even see me call any of these my people, my son, my this. It's still a heaviness in my spirit. Don't resent people to show you are higher. No. Celebrate people. Our children come here after service. You see me hug them and appreciate them with all my heart. You come here whether I know you or not. I'm shaking you, I'm greeting you, I'm hugging you. After service, I tell you, hug one another. Some of you just pull your mouth and you are going straight to the bus. Don't do that. Don't do that. You can add 10 years of pain to your life by ignoring one person. Father, I pray for your people tonight in the name of Jesus. You are revealing to us success systems that will bring us into uncommon dimensions of triumph. I pray, oh God, that every spirit of bitterness that is in anyone here that is responsible for driving valuable people, may that spirit leave your life forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that God will give you the unashamedness to invest in profitable relationships. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you will have at least 2 to 3 valuable people in your life that you can call friends in me. And I decree and declare that every wrong attitude that you have portrayed that has driven great people from your life, I declare a restoration for you tonight. In the name of Jesus, I command a reconnection for you with the great and valuable people who will lift you to the next level. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Put your hands together for Jesus and please keep standing. Please keep standing. Please keep standing. Our time is gone, but I just want to perform 2 functions very quickly. Number one, I want to make an altar call. Why do we do this every time? We do this because there is somebody who needs to have a relationship with Jesus. We're talking about the law of relationships. There are some of you outside. The first relationship you need a connection with and to is Jesus Christ. You will never succeed in life outside of Him. You may have been coming around. Some of you are outside. Some of you are online. Some of you were invited. You heard me speak. You are hearing me speak again. And the Lord is telling you, I need a relationship with you. I want to build your life. Some of you need a reconnection. That connectivity has been broken. Wherever you are, please, I will count 1 to 4 very quickly. Don't wait for anybody to come. Take a bold step and make your way out here right now. 1, quickly, please appreciate them as they come. I believe there are people here and there If you are coming, please come. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. Please run and come. Two. I'm counting one to four. God bless you. God bless you. You can stand on your feet, please. Those outside, keep coming. Nothing to be ashamed of. It's a reconnection. Man of God, I need this relationship. I don't want my life to be a failure. He said, he who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. Keep coming. Three. God bless you. Don't be ashamed of him. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your courage. If you're coming, still join them quickly. Quickly, I see people coming. Our mother is coming. God bless you, Mama. Please come and join them quickly. Let's appreciate our mother. God bless you. Bless you. Now, I want you to lift your right hand, all of you in front. Lift your right hand and mean it seriously. We're out of time, but then don't make a joke of it. It's a supernatural experience. Say, in the name of Jesus, tonight, I declare that my heart belongs to Jesus. I surrender to you totally, completely. I ask that my sins be forgiven. See, the power of God is even on you as you are praying. I receive the life of God right now, and I declare that I'm a child of God from today. My sins are forgiven. I have a new beginning. I declare that I'm reconnected back to the source of my life, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Father, receive these ones. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will take them from glory to glory in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you honor their decisions. And I pray, oh God, that this will be forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you so much for coming. There's a gentleman waving his hands. All of you are likely to just move in concert and you will meet him. They will direct you, give you a few details and communicate a few things. Let's honor them very quickly.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaEternityNetworkInternational. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaEni. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the corollas of God's light on earth.